on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about? Take your best shot, I'ma take the last shot. I'm Jordan in the clutch, boy. You bitten on me? It's time to get it checked, boy. You on the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me? What's the topic of discussion? What you talking about?
Alrighty, guys, All Facts Media is here live for another episode of the Auto Bandit. Today, we have a familiar friend, our guy, Coach Jamion Christian, the head coach at GW on the Bandit today. So, Coach, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, man. You know, I love being on here with you guys and excited to talk a little bit.
No problem at all, man. We want to definitely remind you guys before we get into it, man. Make sure you guys are liking this podcast. Make sure you guys are subscribing to the Auto Bid on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify, wherever you're listening to this podcast. Tell a friend and tell a friend because it does go a long way. And also make sure you guys are streaming my guy Pull Up Tay's music. That was him on the intro. His new project, Life Ain't Fair, is out now. And his new music video, I Need It, is out on YouTube. Make sure you guys are tapping in to my guy's new music, man. But got Coach Christian on today, man, and I had the opportunity to go to, you know, catch GW practice a few weeks ago, or probably more than a month or two now at this point. But one thing that I was extremely surprised about, man, is Coach Christian still got it, guys. I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed, man, but last time we had Coach on, man, we talked about his playing career a little bit, man. But this dude, you know, when we were at the facility, man, this guy was talking trash to the players, man, knocking down a few deep threes, man. I was like, hold on, man. I mean, people told me he was good, man, but I didn't believe it until I seen my own two eyes, man. So, Coach, man, why you be out there cooking your players like that, man? That's crazy.
I mean, the best education is to have to emulate, right? So, now, you know, I just love playing a game. I think one of the things I want our players to always feel is that how much we love playing the game. I think at the end of the day, you know, you were out there with us cooking a few guys too. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a game that we love playing, that we've been playing all our lives. And I want our guy, I mean, what was probably interesting too is that we had probably about 8 or 9 of our guys in there watching, you know, watching us play. And I just want them to always know that we love playing the game, that we really enjoy it. And I think that's a component that, like, not a lot of guys get when they go to college. Like, a lot of times their head coaches and their assistant coaches, you know, they never even see their head coaches shoot the basketball. And, you know, I want those guys to know that I love playing a game, that I want them to love playing a game, and that if they get too crazy out there, we can go one-on-one and we can square up. And, I'm probably going to get a bucket on them. I mean, there's a lot of guys. So we got a lot of victims here of guys that have tried to play me one-on-one that haven't been able to win. A lot of all-league players running around out there playing overseas right now. You might play against some over there that I give him a good bucket to, and I make sure I let him know it every single time and every time I see him.
Oh, man.
He's not lying to you, man. He was getting bucks and letting folks know about it right after, man. I love to see it, man. I really love to see it.
You know, we're going deep threes. You know, we're pulling up in transition. We're letting them know about it. You know, like anytime you step between those lines, anybody can get it. And I think that's the kind of mentality we're trying to grow. You know, I feel like we do have a great team of guys that love that mentality now. And hopefully they're getting some of that from me as well. And, you know, the guys are on that other team, and I'm still talking trash to them to this day, because some of those guys, they try to say they're quote unquote great defenders. And I just said, I guess that means I'm a great scorer then. So
Hey, listen, I would have given a lot of money to be able to be a fly on the wall that day at practice to be able to see this, man. I also heard you was throwing between the legs passes. So, what you got? Yeah, dimes too, Coach? I mean, sheesh.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy is I love passing the basketball. So, that's like one of my things is that I love passing the basketball. Average almost 10 assists a game in high school. I would have loved to try to do that in college. I just love how you make somebody feel when you give them a perfect pass and they go up for an easy finish. You know, just that I always got a lot of satisfaction off making a perfect pass and then point to the guy after. So, I mean, you know, through the years, I've gotten a little more adventurous with my passes. Like, I think the between the legs pass and the pick and roll is one of the most underrated passes. I think it's an easy pass to make in the pocket. So, we're always trying to get James Bishop to expand a little bit there. You know, I'm dying for him to throw one of those in the game because I think it's there. And so, you know, he doesn't take as much risk as I do. But, you know, I'm trying to get him to that point where he's able to do that. But, again, I love passing the ball, man. So, if anybody wants to play, like I can hit deep threes. I can get to the front row. I can do that. But I'd much rather play with four guys that can score the ball and just go create for them.
Now, Coach, you mentioned James Bishop, man. He was awesome the day that I was there, man. And, you know, great to pick and roll. Really quick, can really shoot it. Obviously, you know, he's a guy last year that led your team in scoring, averaged 19-5. I mean, what are you looking for him this year as far as, you know, kind of stepping into that more leadership role and having another big year for you guys over there at GW?
And James Bishop is an amazing person. I start there. He signed up to a task with us to change the way of life we have here at GW on the basketball floor. And since he's arrived here, we've only gotten better. In terms of the way that he works every single day, first guy in, last guy out, just that mentality, you know, day in and day out. So we've gotten so much better just having him here and having his voice with us in our program every day. And one thing I love about him, you know, we were actually having this discussion in the office today. It's like, you know, what does each guy do? What's the best thing that each guy does on our team? And, you know, I think with him, everybody knows how well he scores every 20 points a game in the A-10, major, great league to be in. If you can do that, you can play in a lot of different leagues. But I think one of the things that people are going to see this year is that he's a tremendous playmaker for others. His ability to get the ball to other guys, you know, he's taken such a such an understanding of how important it is to pass the ball and how to move it. You know, and when he committed here, that was one of the things he wanted, to have the ball in his hands and play point guard and wanted to be able to create for others. And he's done that every single day. I mean, just under 6 assists a game last year. With the scoring we have on the roster this year, I know he's excited about how he can move the ball. And early on, he's just done an amazing job of getting everybody involved and taking a lot of pride in it.
Yep. Now, another addition to the backcourt that you guys had in this offseason was Brandon Adams. And obviously, you know, his older brother, Jalen Adams, was in my class of 2014 and ended up being one of the best players in the A-10 at St. Bonaventure. Obviously, he played under Coach Hurley at UConn. But what have you noticed about his game, you know, just watching him in workouts early on, and kind of what are you expecting from him this year coming into a new situation at GW?
Brendan's been amazing. Number one, he's a smart guy, understands it. You know, learned a lot with Coach Hurley in terms of just how to play hard and how to go hard. So you never have to worry about all that with him. I'm looking forward to helping him show the world the kind of energy and enthusiasm he has. He's a great player, guys. I mean, I don't know if people realize what a great player he is. They're looking at what he was able to do at UConn. And I just don't think it's indicative to how good a player that he is on a day-to-day basis, the way he's shooting the ball for us, the way that he defends and plays both ends. And you guys know this. If you're going to be a great player, you got to play both ends of the floor, and you got to love doing it. And he's a guy that loves doing that. I think coming into our pressing attack, getting up and down the floor, really suits him and how fast he can play. He's been outstanding for us. Was a leader at UConn, you know, his time there, and has done a great job here being a leader on our team, leading by example, being a big brother, but then getting out there and really showcasing what he can do. He's a special talent. I'm really excited to coach him, as I am the rest of these guys. But I think he's got something really special. I think he's got an it factor. I think the world's going to start to see that, and they're gonna look around and say, man, where was this guy at UConn? And that ain't for me to answer. My answer for them is, like, we got a great guy here that we really believe in, that's ready to go and ready to attack it, humble, hungry, and ready.
Now, you mentioned Brendan. I mean, you also added Joe Bemisley from Virginia Tech, Ira Lee from Arizona, and Brian Knapp also from Cornell. I mean, what about those transfers are you most excited about? Obviously, Brian Knapp is a Montgomery County guy, just like me and Drew, coming from the Ivy League, man. I mean, out of those guys, you know, obviously, I remember, you know, playing with Joe. Seems like, you know, a really good athlete, great cutter, plays really hard, high motor guy. I mean, what are you looking for out of your new transfers this season?
Yeah, you know, Joe Bamisle's an exciting player. He's a guy who, you know, was top 60 coming out of high school, and a guy who's a tremendous player. We're really happy that we get a chance to coach him here. One of the guys that can score the ball at an incredible level. I mean, talk about scoring at all three levels, getting to the front of the rim, making pull-up jumpers, making exciting plays, making threes, you know, finishing above the rim. And I think defensively in our pressing attack, I just think he really fits what we're able to do. And I think one of the things that's been underrated that he's done a great job of so far is he's really passed the ball well and really been in that backcourt creating for guys like Brendan Adams and Noel Brown and guys like that, and really been able to step in and do that. You know, he's a guy that's a creative thinker. He's a musical artist, so he thinks differently. He approaches the thing differently. differently, but his approach in basketball has been amazing. Up every day, between 7 and 8 a.m., getting the same number of shots up, just really driven to be able to do those things. I'm excited for him because he's a guy that fits into our environment because, you know, we just want everybody to become the best they can become with who they are, using their uniqueness. We're not trying to make him, you know, a certain way or put him in a box. Man, I want Joe Bamsell to go be himself and to go let it all hang out there. And he's been able to do that. And he's been able to showcase his personality, his energy, his infectious every single day. And a guy that just loves playing basketball. So, you know, we're obviously juiced about him. And you know, we talk about Brian Knapp, you know, again, I love bringing these local guys back home. You know, that's something I love to do. And he was a guy we recruited a little bit when I was at Mount St. Mary's. I loved his toughness, loved his shooting ability. Found out pretty early on he was probably going to go in the Ivy League, and so understood that. So I felt like when he came available, we were like, man, we gotta get this guy here. And we just felt like his toughness, his ability to shoot the ball, the experience level that he was able to have. You know, one of the things I think people aren't going to notice, which they should, is just how much experience we added with our transfers. You know, we didn't just add talented guys. We added guys who were hungry, who'd been in the fire before, that understood it, been in major moments. And Brian Knapp is one of those guys, and he's elevated us every day. We also added Kwanzy Samuels, who played at St. John's, another transfer from Florida Gulf Coast, 6'9", versatile, can guard a lot of different guys. Offensively, he's a guy that can make outside shots and make plays for us. He's brought a level of maturity to our program at all these spots that we just really needed. And again, a guy with great experience. But again, I just think the guys like you that are coming back home, you know, WCAC basketball and high school basketball here is just the best basketball in the country. So anytime we have a chance to bring a guy back to home, we're always looking for that. And, you know, we've been able to do that. And Ira Lee, unfortunately, will be out this year as he got hurt a few weeks ago. And so, you know, he won't be able to be with us this year. But, you know, we're really confident in the guys that we have here in our program. And we're juiced about a bunch of the guys. We're juiced about a lot of the guys we're going to talk about today. And we're obviously going to send well wishes to Ira as he continues to recover.
No, I think it's a perfect segue, man, because you mentioned, you know, bringing guys home. And one of the guys that you were able to bring home, not this season, but last year, was Ricky Lindo, a local guy who obviously, you know, had time at Maryland and was able to kind of get his footing under him last year for you guys. And I want to talk about him, obviously, coming into this year. Obviously, I feel like he had a couple of big games for you guys last year down the stretch. What are you looking forward to him taking that next step into his next season? What do you kind of notice from him in the offseason? And kind of what are you excited about with Ricky coming into his upcoming season?
Yeah, Ricky's the only guy coming back in the A-10 to average a double-double. And I think that's, you know, he came in the heat of the season, 7 games left, and really did an amazing job for us. Guy that I've always loved his motor, his intensity to play hard. I mean, the one thing you know, Ricky Lindo, when that ball's up on the backboard, he's going to go and get it. And one of the most versatile defenders in our league. Again, you know, what you're going to see with him in our pressing system is like, he's a guy that can play on the front of the press and then end up guarding a point guard some and then guarding a big some. So we're going to really utilize his versatility, really showcase everything that he can do as a player on both ends of the floor. I think the thing he's improved most on is his shooting ability and his confidence shooting the ball. I mean, he's going to have some games this year where he makes 4 or 5 threes because it just looks beautiful. He's worked on it a ton. He's able to handle the misses now, which is allowing him to make more shots afterwards. But just a tremendous competitor. You know, you get a guy from Wilson High School, you know you're getting a guy that's going to compete and a guy that loves to win. You know, his energy is infectious in the sense that he's going to compete every single play. Every time that ball's up, he's going to go and compete every single moment. Loves to compete, loves to get after guys. So he brings that component to us, brings a level of toughness I'm not sure we've had here at GW in my time here at least. And I think it's going to be something really special.
Now, you mentioned Ira Lee being out with the injury. I assume that would open up, you know, a lot for Hunter and Dee and Noel Brown, who kind of didn't have big roles last year. But both of those guys should hopefully, you know, be able to step in, you know, along with Ricky Lindo, who, you know, obviously we just spoke about. But, I mean, what are you looking for from those two guys, both upperclassmen now, kind of stepping into this new role, you know, this season?
Love those guys. I mean, it's just one of these situations where we feel like those guys are really, really good, and they've had a lot of it. They've really had a chance to grow into their experience level. Noel Brown from Flint Hill, right, nice local guy. You know how I love it. And, you know, 6'11", 265 pounds, can move up and down the floor. It's a great one-on-one finisher in the lane. Just juiced about him getting the opportunity to be able to play here and be the guy we can throw the ball to. His ability to just score it, his outgoing personality defensively, He's a guy that's got a bright, bright future. We've always felt that, you know, from even he came in as a freshman, we just felt like we've really got a steal with that one. And so now it's just going to be about him getting out there and having the experience level to go out there and make the plays that we know that he can make and give him the opportunity. So we're thrilled that he's going to have that opportunity to be able to do that. We look at Hunter Dean coming from Louisiana, was a great baseball player in high school. This is the first time he's really had a chance to lock into basketball. And then because of COVID, he didn't even get a summer with us. So this is the first summer he's going to have really in his life where he just focused on basketball. So watching his shooting ability, how much it's improved, his playmaking ability, he's a big time athlete, finishes above the rim. I think he probably was led our team or second our team in dunks last year. So he's a guy that's a young player, but really starting to kind of figure it out and how he can use his athleticism to impact the game. Another guy that can guard 1 through 5 defensively and then offensively, he just finishes above the rim and can make outside shots. Thrilled again for him to get that opportunity this year. He'll play the 4 and the 5 for us, but just thrilled because we just really have a lot of faith in him. And it's been great watching him get a chance to get on the floor, as you guys know, get on the floor, be in a consistent system a little bit, and watch him improve.
Because I want to talk about you for a second. Obviously, this is going to be your second year at GW.
Going into the third year now.
Going to year 3 now. So what are some things that you're looking forward to this year? I mean, obviously, going from year 2 to year 3, got a bunch of new guys coming to the mix. For you, Coach, I mean, obviously now the A-10, obviously, last year was a multi-bid league, getting VCU in there and St. Bonnie's. Obviously, VCU wasn't able to play the game because of COVID. But, you know, what are you looking for yourself kind of into year, going into year 3 now? What things have you learned as far as just coaching in the A-10 and as far as your roster that you think will help your team this year?
Yeah, you know, I think the things that I'm excited about is, you know, we're year 3 into our way of life and how we like to operate here. So we've got some guys that are really locked into how we operate in terms of how we love each other every day, how we motivate one another each day, and how we show up. And I think those are some of the hardest things to really establish inside a program, is just building some consistency of standard of how you operate. So it's good to be in year 3 because we feel like we finally got a system in place that the guys are buying into. They're doing everything they can on a day-to-day basis. So we know there's a level of consistency that's coming in the weight room, that's coming in the practice floor, that's coming in the classroom. And consistency is where we all find greatness. So we definitely feel great about that. We also feel great about the level of competitiveness that we've been able to build within inside the locker room. You know, one of the guys we haven't had a chance to talk about yet is Breon Freeman, a local guy here, played at DeMatha and Bishop O'Connell and National Christian, where he finished out at. So a local guy who's a energetic, fiery young guy who can make plays for us, who wanted to stay in DC to go to school, to be the first guy here to really make that commitment coming out of high school. So he's a guy that obviously believes in legacy and believes in stepping into a process, being able to do that. And so when you look at him, he's a guy that can obviously play on the ball or off the ball. He's great defensively, but you love his enthusiasm. And, you know, I think sometimes, and you guys have been through it, and some people out there watching have been through it, you know, as you're building a program, you start to get the guys that fit there, guys that fit there in that moment, but they might not fit there for your success. And, you know, with Breon, we have the guys that fits in building our success. And I think that's important to understand. You know, a guy, when you walk in the building, the first set of guys you recruit, you know, you want to make sure you hit on. And we really feel like we hit with him coming in here 2 years ahead of your recruitment of a guy and coming here and making an impact. So, you know, obviously we have a ton of enthusiasm, a guy that we feel like we can build around, you know, stepping in. He's going to be there with James Bishop on the floor some, but a guy we really love his enthusiasm, love how he can make plays. And when you put a guy out there with enthusiasm and great ball toughness out there in this press game, it's crazy things can happen. And he's a guy that we feel like has a chance to have a really special future.
I'm glad you mentioned Bray. He's one of the incoming freshmen that I want to ask you about. You also signed 3 other freshmen in, you know, Laziz, and also Tyler Warner and Daniel Dixon. I mean, of those 4 guys, I mean, what have you been your thoughts on those guys that practices has kind of started, you know, so this fall, man? And what are you looking for out of the other 3 freshmen as well this year?
Yeah, Daniel Nixon's coming along. I mean, he's a guy that's 6'7", 225 pounds, can score, and is really versatile. You know, still trying to figure out college. And, you know, a guy that was a really good high school player and able to just put his head down and score. And you guys know this. When you get to college, you got to figure out a way to fit into the offense and how that can fit around you and kind of find your spots. He's still kind of learning that stuff. But I think with his ability to post up, score from the perimeter, drive the ball to the front of the rim, make kind of passes and plays, you know, he's a guy that we really are hopeful to help figure it out. And sometimes it takes some time for guys, and that's what you sign up for as a coach, to line up with those guys every day and make sure they're getting in. And, you know, he's a guy that we have a lot of faith in, and we're just going to keep riding out with him. guys really talented. You know, you look at Aziz and Tyler, you know, two guys that have both walked on for us that we really appreciate. I mean, they're coming in every day making us better. Aziz is that great outside shooter, so we really need that. And he's a guy that I think down the road, man, he's really gonna make these days in practice really tough. But really a great, great person, great kid. Tyler Warner is a big body, man, that can really play. You know, he's one of those post guys that, again, you guys know this, those guys kind of mature a little bit later in their maturation process. So we're excited about getting him as a recruit, because we felt like with his body type and his ability to have the ability to finish around the rim in particular and defend, that he's the guy that down the road can really have a chance to be an impact player within the roster. And so we're juiced about him. You always want to keep a good big around that you feel like has a future, and we feel like he has a major future in this game, and we want to just keep developing every single day.
Now, Coach, you mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I kind of want to expound. Obviously, so, you know, if we rewind, you know, year one, you're thrown in. It's always tough trying to, you know, your first year in the program, getting your guys in there, trying to establish your culture, right? Then year two, COVID hits, right? And it's all this uncertainty and things like that. Now we're in year three. You have an offseason. You have a full summer of workouts. You have the fall to prepare your team. Is there a heightened sense of confidence entering this season? Obviously, having that summer, having that offseason, obviously, you're going into year three, so you're a little more comfortable. You have a couple guys that you've been able to recruit now. You know, what is your mindset going into year three now? I guess, you know, hopefully, quote unquote, not having to deal with the uncertainty of COVID this year, yeah. Fingers crossed. But kind of what is your mindset now entering this season at GW?
Well, I mean, you know this, if you're confident enough to pull up off the transition at 36 feet off the dribble, you're a pretty confident person. So, you know, I try to exude confidence with everything that I do, believing in the plan that we put out in front of us. You know, sometimes plans don't go exactly how you expect them to, and that's okay. You know, I've been through this enough times now, rebuilding at Mount St. Mary's, rebuilding at Siena, and well on our way rebuilding here. I still believe we're ahead of schedule here at GW to achieving some real greatness. And, you know, sometimes your record doesn't always show the progress that you're making. And then sometimes in life, guys, you know, life throws you something that you're not prepared for. And that maybe in that time of our, at the time of that journey, we weren't ready for that, you know. And, you know, what we were trying to build with the guys we had on the roster a year ago, and, you know, we might not have been ready to handle all the uncertainty. You know, we actually do all these personality tests and stuff. And what was interesting is when we met about the personality test, the doctor literally told us, your team is going to really struggle through COVID because they lack agility. So we knew that it was going to be a tough year. Because we just didn't have agile bodies in terms of not how they played, but how they're able to adjust to the schedule and stuff. And I definitely felt like through COVID, the schedule was dictated by the CDC, not really as much by my athletic director or myself or other coaches. So I definitely feel really confident that having an off season, being more ingrained in our culture here at GW, being more ingrained in our way of life within our basketball program, knowing what the A-10 looks like and how coaches are going to play and the adjustments they're going to make. Yeah, obviously we feel more confident because we've got a history, but I feel really confident because I look in the eyes of these guys every single day and I hug these guys every single day and I know how their heart beats. And I know what's driving them. And every one of the guys in that roster is driven to do something that hasn't been done before. And we've got a heck of a task ahead of us. And so I can feel that from them every day. You know, when you hug somebody and you feel that heartbeat, you feel that love in between you, you feel that with this group of guys. And I just think the world's going to see them have a chance to step out there and do that. And I think that's going to be really, really exciting for everyone to watch, a group of guys connected to something bigger than themselves.
Now, I got to ask a quick follow-up question, because I've heard about these personality tests before. Like, can you kind of expound upon that? Because that's definitely a unique, I guess, philosophy that not too many programs that I've heard of at least utilize. But can you talk about that and kind of what those are and kind of how you utilize those into your program?
Yeah, you know, I'm really big on this. I mean, we've got a small window to get this thing right. We've got 4 years, maybe 5 years. But the way these guys transfer around now, we might have a semester to get it right. So we've got a small window of time to get it right for each one of these guys. And so just utilizing the assessments, I think, has been really important for us and assessing where guys are and where they can go. So, you know, the personality test is only one sort of assessment that we use. We use actually others to kind of gauge where guys are, because I want to know what their mindset is. You know, like, you know, you can have a fixed and growth mindset assessment, right? I think that's important. You can have emotional intelligence assessment to see where guys are. And then you can have, you know, there's a lot of assessments you can have. And then we use the TAP test, or the Trout Wound Aptitude Performance Test, is one that we use, sponsored by Razor, is the one that we use there, which I think has been great for us because we've used it now for almost 10 years. So I have a great understanding of the test and what it kind of shows and what it doesn't show. You know, again, we just want to assess where everybody is. I mean, you know, wouldn't it be great for you to walk in the office and to have a response to something and for your coach to know why you're responding that way, you know? So it does give us a little bit of a head start on how we can help a guy respond maybe a little bit better, because it tells us his response when adversity hits is become internal instead of external, right? So if you see a guy withdrawing away from the team instead of giving more to the team, that gives us a simple notion that we need to reach out to him and we need to ask more questions or whatever it is. The test kind of guides us on just how to connect with the guys better in important moments. It's really made for pressurized moments. So it's really helped us to be able to gauge just how to impact the guy and connect with the guy when it really matters the most. You know, I'm not sure what your college experience is, but you know, I want guys having the freedom to walk into my office and to sit down and know that I have their best well-being at heart. And it's hard for me to do that if I'm not trying to be intentional with my time with them.
Now, Coach, one thing that I noticed when I came to you guys practice, but you guys were getting up a ton of threes. I mean, the guards were shooting full court threes, corner to corner for like, I don't even know how long it was. I mean, it seemed like they were going for eternity just shooting a bunch of threes. I mean, obviously, last year, you guys struggled a little bit shooting the ball. You guys were 10th in the 8-10 at three-point percentage at 31.7%. I mean, is that an emphasis of yours going into this year to shoot more threes and make more threes this season?
Yeah, I mean, we always love the three-point shot. I mean, I think when you look at the history of my programs, we're usually top two or three in three-pointers attempted. This year, it seems a little bit different. You know, we got James Bishop as a playmaker who can create for others, but also is a really good pull-up shooter. And so, you know, we don't know how many threes he's going to take a game, maybe four, maybe five. You know, so we kind of look at each player to kind of see. I think we're kind of estimating that we're going to take probably 21 to 22 threes a game this year, you know, hoping that we can make seven or eight at about 34%. That gives us a pretty good number. So, you know, we try to base it off the team that we have and what's our biggest strategy. A year ago, we had three guys at some point made 89 plus threes. So the three was a major emphasis for us a year ago. This year, we got some guys that can kind of make plays and do a couple different things. You know, like Ricky Lindo can make outside shots, but is a dominant low post player. Noel Brown's a dominant low post player. Hunter Dean gets to the front of the rim. Joe Bama still does the same thing. He scored all three levels, so he's not as predominantly on the outside. Shooting threes. Breon Freeman's great at getting in the lane. So you kind of go through the guys. You know, we basically build out a formula that says how many threes we should take. And I think we're looking at probably taking 21 to 22 and really trying to get in the paint and trying to create and then spray that ball out from there. But we're always trying to establish three-point shooters. So, you know, we're always trying to establish that, because if a guy can have a career year from three and make three and a half a game, that's a game changer. So we're always trying to establish that.
It shouldn't be too hard when you see your coach pulling up from 30. I mean, they do it like you, huh?
They should learn. That's how I want it done. But, you know, I think we'll get there. And I think, you know, you'll see a guy like James Bishop kind of step out there a little bit this year and take some deeper threes. We had the kid Junior Robinson at Mount St. Mary's who took a lot of deep threes. So I'm a big proponent of that because they had to now guard you out there. So, you know, I'm hoping that James can stretch the defense a little bit more out that way and take a little bit more risk.
Now, when you look at the A-10, obviously, I mentioned earlier, I see VCU and St. Bonaventure were able to get into the tournament. You know, Dayton's a historically great program in the A-10. St. Louis is always up there. What do you think is going to take for GW to kind of enter the upper echelon of the A-10 to kind of compete for either an at-large bid or conference tournament championship within the A-10?
We just got to be us. And if we're the best version of ourselves, everyone's going to have to dictate and change the way they play against us. That's always the strategy. You know, when you're a team that can press and trap, there's not many teams in the country that press and trap. VCU is one of them. But if you can do that at the highest level, every team's going to dictate their style of play towards how you play there. So I think that's going to be important for us. So, you know, number one, starting on defense on the floor with all these long athletic bodies, you know, you gotta get the ball to half court, and then you gotta try to figure out a way to get a great shot up. And so just starting there on the defense end of the floor, just being aggressive, again, making teams have to play our style, not us dictating to how they're gonna play, and just being us. You know, I do think when you have guys like the guys we've talked a lot about, when they play unselfishly, it's really hard to guard, because everyone talks about how all these guys came back. And so I just wonder how, you know, when I look at the rest of the teams, I'm like, well, how's everyone coming back? I mean, how does that impact selfishness and unselfishness? You know, I mean, I don't know about you, but if I was coming back as a 6-year senior, you know, that means I probably didn't get something I wanted in my 5th year or my 4th year. And so now I got to make that magic happen in the 5th or 6th year, right? So, you know, I just wonder how that's going to impact. So, you know, the great thing for us is that, you know, I just don't believe in comparison. Comparison's a thief of joy. So we don't really compare ourselves to anyone else. You know, we know our history here is as good as anybody else's in the league anyway. And when we really lock into ourselves and believe in the power that each of us have, man, we're going to be a tough team to play against. And so, you know, we're just being locked in on one another and empowering one another to be the best we can. You know, that's going to allow us to be top 4 in the league. And if you're top 4 in the A-10, you got a chance to play against anybody in the country, and we all know that.
I want to ask you a quick question about the schedule. You guys got a huge game this year, a huge game for the area. Obviously, you got to be able to play Maryland at College Park. Also, obviously, you're going to be able to play Coppin State, local team, and got a few other games for Charlotte. Going to go out west to Cali to play Cal State Fullerton and San Diego. But I want to talk about the Maryland game, man. I mean, how'd that game come about, man? What are you guys looking forward to, you know, with a team for local guys kind of being able to put on a game like that for the area? I don't even know the last time I can remember GW playing University of Maryland. So when I saw that on the schedule, it definitely kind of stood out to me.
I mean, Coach Turgeon, man. Coach Turgeon's not afraid to play good teams. And so I just give him a lot of credit, because there's a lot of guys that are afraid to play good teams. They're afraid to play good local teams. And that's not Coach Turgeon. You know, Coach Turgeon is a guy who loves to compete. He loves to throw it up against teams that are good, and he believes in that process makes his teams better. And I think that's why Coach Turgeon's done such a good job through the years. And that's why his teams play with such fearlessness, because, you know, he's not afraid to play good teams. You know, so it came together. We had the open date. And so, you know, we kind of started the conversation, and Coach Turgeon was like, man, let's find a way to get this thing done. You know, let's find a way to get a great local game and, you know, at their place. We obviously wanted to play. We love playing great local teams. I mean, I think Coach Turgeon and I are similar in the fact that we want to play good teams. We want to play good local teams. You know, we do feel like it's a great opportunity for both our fan bases to enjoy something that you don't get every year. You know, I think you usually get it once every 6 or 7 years. So we just felt like it was a great opportunity. But you know, it comes together, man, when a guy like Coach Turgeon just continues to show that fearlessness to play anybody. So I just give him a lot of credit, because there are a lot of guys that wouldn't play us. I mean, there's teams in our city, there are schools on the hill here that won't play us. So, I mean, you know, I just give a lot of credit to not being afraid to play somebody good.
Love it. Love it. Love it, Coach. Love it. I mean, from a player standpoint, I actually always wanted to ask, you know, coaches this, because I find there's always a balance, right, between when you trying to construct the non-conference schedule between, all right, you know, we want to give our team confidence, make sure we're getting some wins, but then you also want to play the best. And like you mentioned, challenge yourself, obviously, for the Bear, that is the A-10 schedule. For you as a coach, how do you kind of find that balance? How do you find that balance, and, you know, when you guys are putting together your schedule at GW in that non-conference slate?
Yeah, I mean, it's a process, because – you know, there's some local games here that we really value that we're actually not playing this year. I mean, we actually really enjoy playing Howard. We enjoy playing American, Navy a year ago. So we enjoy playing those games. I think those games are important for local rivalries. We always want to try to find a way to continue to play those teams. It gets challenging when you add in the multi-team events, because you're always trying to get, you know, your multi-team events. You're going to travel. You're going to play 3 games. So that's taking you away from your home base a little bit. So we're always trying to get a good balance, you know, and you know, I think if we can play a couple of high major games, I think those are really, really important, just for our net rating, but also important for our kids to go out there and play against, you know, some different kinds of teams that are talented. So it's always a balance really with the non-conference, and it's a real challenge, because everyone's trying to play the best opponents they can play. The high major conferences now are going to a system where they're basically playing each other twice. So it's really getting difficult to play some of those teams that are a little bit maybe, you know, in the Power Five and above us. So we're just trying to find one of those games every single year. I think we're able to do that and find good games that way. I think it puts us in a good place. I think everybody wins.
Now, Coach, man, last question before we get you out of here, man. You're a three-year DMV guy now, down here in D.C. at least, man. After you played at Mount St. Mary's and everything, but being in the city, man, I mean, what have been your favorite food spots, you know, down in D.C., man? Me personally, you know, I'm a oohs and ahs soul food guy. You know, I head over to the Wharf, a few little spots over there, man. But what are your favorite go-to food spots in the city so far, man?
Great question. Oh man, this is a good one. I mean, there's a lot. I eat well here. So, you know, there's a lot of them, you know. I just got to think of one here. I mean, actually, here we have so many like nice local places here that it's really like however you feel, right? So, you know, like obviously we have Circa right here beside us. We have Tonic right here beside us. So, you know, kind of going to those places for lunch, you know, at least once or twice a week. You know, Mercy Me is actually really, really good here in DC as well. It's in a hotel, which is really good. But we kind of just pop around, man. I mean, there's this chicken sandwich I get, and I gotta look up where it is but it's so good. I gotta look it up, man. I know on Zoom, but.
I must say, man, I haven't been to any spots that you've mentioned yet, man. I might got to add these to my bucket list and make sure I get over there a few days. I'm definitely going to add this chicken sandwich too, because I love, me personally, I'm a real big, you know, fried chicken sandwich type of guy, you know what I'm saying? So I definitely am all down for a good chicken sandwich, man.
Oh, man, I can't believe it. I mean, it's on my Uber Eats. It's like, it's the only thing there. But Roaming Rooster has been one of my favorite spots ever. So I've been living at Roaming Rooster, apparently. Like, my Uber Eats is like 10 straight searches. It's only Roaming Rooster. Obviously, that's a favorite of mine. I mean, there's just so many good places in D.C. to eat. Try to space myself out and eat as many of them as possible. But obviously, Roaming Rooster's getting a lot of love from me.
There you have it, man. Hey, Coach Christian's favorite food spot. We got his top three, you know, so we're definitely going to be stay tuned. Hopefully, you know, hey, when you find that chicken spot, make sure you let me know, man, because I will go check it out, man.
Roman Rooster's a chicken spot. And another place that I go here often is Founding Farmers.
That's fire.
So we're talking about like quick places, those three. I'm going to go sit down. Founding Farmers. I love it over there.
Yeah, great brunch at Founding Farmers as well. I went there before I came out to Costa Rica. It was a great, great brunch.
Founding Farmers, Farmers and Distillers, that whole family, it's great. Their owner is an amazing guy as well. Just a guy that really can connect. You can tell why the food is so good because it starts with his ownership, how much he loves his employees and loves people that are there. So if I'm going quick, I'm going to those first three places. I'm going down to sit down. I'm going to Founding Farmers. You'll find me there often.
There you have it, man. Hey, if anybody's listening to this spot, you haven't had any of these aforementioned restaurants, make sure you make your way over there, man. But I want to thank Coach Christian, man. It's always a great time getting you on the podcast, man. So definitely want to thank you again. I'm definitely going to get down there and catch one of you guys' practices again soon. And best of luck to you guys this season, man. We definitely appreciate your time, as always.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for taking the time. We'll see you soon. Stay safe.
Yes, sir, Coach. Stay safe, man. And stop giving your players hell, man. You got to have some confidence going into the season, man.
you know, that's the way it goes, man. I mean, if you go line them up, man, lace them up, man. This is where we are.
Love it.
Thank you guys for listening, man. And until next time, this has been another episode of The Auto Bid.
Take your best shot. I'm going to take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy. You beating on me. I can tell. It's time to get a check, boy. Check, boy. On the sideline, you ain't made the headlines. Now it's time to reject, boy. You bitten on me. I can tell. What's the topic of discussion? What we talking about? Take your best shot. I'ma take the last shot. I'm drawing in the clutch, boy.